I had Mary Catherine read Mary's song this morning, and a beautiful job, by the way. Just beautiful. Yeah. And I thought about her reading Mary's song because she may be on the upper end of the age of what we think Mary probably was at the time of her marriage to Joseph and the pregnancy with Jesus. Somewhere between 14 and 18, we don't know her age exactly, but somewhere in that early teenage years. As a matter of fact, and I don't have a big stance on this, but adolescence is a creation that has come into being over the past 120 years or so, maybe a little longer than that. Used to, a man in the Jewish tradition, what age was he considered a man? 13. You had him and he became a man. And he was expected to do manly things. Now, I don't know that they all got married at 13. It may have been a couple years later than that or whatever. But they were expected to conduct themselves not as a child anymore. And today, of course, we have sanctioned being a child for a long, long time now. Even though some of us are, and we're still considered true children at times. So it's a very different thing. And I wanted to look at Mary a little bit this morning because Mary had a purpose. She discovered her purpose. And I've been talking for the past few weeks about purpose. And sometimes a purpose is a hard thing to discover. But Mary discovered her purpose. But in Luke chapter 1, and I'm actually using a Bible this morning because my iPad, my app was giving the on the blink this morning. Isn't it amazing how, but this doesn't change. Yeah, old school, right? that's a different story seeing it. But there's 80 verses in chapter 1. 80, just packed verses. And it talks about the birth announcement, Mary visits Elizabeth, and John the Baptist being born. And it really leads up to the birth of Jesus in a way that we don't see in the other Gospels. The other Gospels, they're all different, and they all paint the picture. But in Luke, we see this great story, all the way Luke 1 and 2, about the birth of Jesus and the preparation for that. And in this chapter 1, we see various people delivering songs. We see the song of Mary, and it's a joyful song. And Mary Catherine read that to us this morning. And I love how the first line is, taken from the Old Testament, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And I think about magnification, of how you put something under a microscope and you see it big. You see something that is small, but you see it in a big way. My soul makes the Lord bigger. My soul makes the Lord look bigger. And I bring attention to the details there. I have sometimes I use a magnifying glass. I have these reader glasses. And I put them on and I said, "Whoa, I can see." And I'll sit there. And the other day I had them down on the end of my nose because I was reading and watching TV at the same time. And I would look, and somebody came in and made a comment. I think it was a real healthy comment, but they made a comment, and I was reading, and I noticed that before I put on the glasses, I could see and make out the words, but after I put on the glasses and then took them off, I couldn't see the words anymore. Because my eyes had adjusted to the glasses a little bit, and we see that she has this idea of, I want to magnify him so much that, everything becomes fuzzy without him. And this is a great song that she sings. And she knew that the Lord God is wonderful because she says it there. She knew that he was the source of strength. In 49 and 50, we see he who is mighty. We see that she knew him as the righteous judge in verses 51 and following, and how he was a faithful father in verses 54 and 55. And I say all that to say this: Mary's song is very interesting coming from a teenager. And here she gets the news that Jesus' birth was going to happen. She visits her cousin Elizabeth, and she gives this soliloquy, this great song. And I think it's pretty instructive to know that if you want to find your purpose, you got to have something put in the tank. If you want to go somewhere, you must fill up on something. And we fill up on the Lord. We fill up on the Spirit of God. There's another song. It's the song of Zacharias. We won't read it, But if you go down to verses 68 and following, here's this older man had been wanting a child, and the child came. And Zacharias also had a song, and he starts, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel." So we see these various songs, and we sing these Christmas hymns, these anthems, these songs of Advent. The first Noel, they are songs that should be in our hearts, and we sing them gladly, and we sing them with great instruction on our minds. But I have an outline today, and it's a little different. So if you take the either on the screen or in your on the worship page, it's just a little bit different. And the first thing we see is the misunderstood Mary. I read a little poem, and I want to read it to you. I'm not good at reading poems, but I think you'll like this one. "'Twas the night before Christmas and Santa's a wreck. How to live in a world that is politically correct? His workers no longer want to be called elves. Vertically challenged, they were calling themselves. Four reindeer had vanished without much propriety, released to the wilds by the Humane Society. The runners had been removed from his sleigh. The ruts were deemed dangerous by the EPA. And to show you the strangeness of life's ebb and flows, Rudolph was suing over the misuse of his nose. And had gone on Fox News in front of the nation, demanding millions in overdue compensation." So, you know, and in the world we live, sometimes things get, you know, politically correct. And people tend to change their view of things. But we don't change our view of God. And we don't change our view of people we see in Scripture. There's the misunderstood Mary, and I mention this in two ways. Number one, she was overused or maybe overestimated. We see a lot of people in our world that overestimate Mary. I won't call names, but some people even tend to worship Mary. They bring Mary to a place where she was not intended to be. She was the mother of Christ, and she had a divine seed planted in her, but she was not divine. She was a sinner like the rest of us. I even read one time when Pope Pius IX said, "God has committed to Mary the treasury of all good things in order that through her are obtained every hope, every grace, and all salvation." And I think that's an interesting but overused case on Mary. Mary was an obedient servant. Mary was used by the Lord. Mary was wise beyond her years. But let's don't overestimate Mary. The other day at our house, Mary got beheaded. Now, the manger scene was going up, and evidently Christy came in the room. She said, "There's been a mishap. Mary has lost her head." But I think some super glue got it all back together, and we're good to go. But we don't need to overestimate Mary. You know, in Mexico, there's the Day of the Virgin, and millions of people come to pay homage to Mary. Hundreds of thousands will make a pilgrimage to Mexico City. From all over the country, many will walk on their knees to get there. And they have a shrine, and people leave blood stains from walking on their knees into the shrine to worship Mary. And I say that to help us be reminded that we don't overestimate any person. You know, Billy Graham gave a message the other day, and I can't remember what birthday it is, but it's not 100, but it's close, maybe in between 95 and 90 and 100. And, you know, we don't worship Billy Graham. We don't worship Andy. We don't worship any servant of the Lord. We don't worship Mother Teresa. We don't lift those people up. They're saints because of the grace of God, but we don't overestimate people. We overestimate, or we estimate correctly, the God inside the people. But let us also not underestimate Mary. While some people, maybe our Catholic brothers and sisters, might overestimate Mary, let's don't underestimate her either, because she played a crucial role in God's plan. And we will be spiritually impoverished if we ignore her and ignore her message and ignore exactly what she did. The birth of Mary's child radically altered the course of human history. So much so that people around the world divide time in accordance with the birth of her child, B.C. and A.D. You know, I know a few years ago, the BBC, they always used to put in the year of our Lord 2003, and of course they stopped doing that a couple years ago because they are now politically correct and don't want to offend anybody. But you can't get away from something that we number our days according to where we sense that Jesus was born. Every day you write something, there is a date somewhere that says it is November the 30th, the year 2014, since the birth of Christ. And you can't get away from that. So we don't want to overestimate, but we sure don't want to underestimate Mary. We don't want her just to be an angelic figure on a Christmas card. She was this young girl who was obedient to the Lord, and she carried Jesus, and she delivered Jesus. She allowed this to happen to her. But she was also a teenager in love. Now, have you ever been a teenager in love? Yeah. You know, and you have all these, there's infatuation, there's love. But she was a teenager in love. Matter of fact, she was betrothed to Joseph. Now, I don't know how the marriage was arranged. It could have been that they had an arranged marriage, two families and so forth. They were on the poor end of the stick. So I don't really know how that happened. But I know this, there must have been some love somewhere, because Joseph surely would have given her up otherwise. But there was some love in this relationship. And some of the things we know about her, she was a teenager, she was a devout believer, and she had this love interest named Joseph. You know, like brides-to-be everywhere, she probably could talk of nothing but her wedding. I don't know what it was like. You know, she probably talked about what they're going to do. You know, Papa salting down some fish for the reception. You know, Uncle Joe's bringing the wine. Whatever it might have been, she was probably talking up the wedding. And it's going to be the grandest wedding in Nazareth. It's just going to be a grand wedding, you know. And the happy days of looking through the bridal magazine. Just whatever happened. But she was a teenager in love. So she was a devout follower of the Lord. She was young, and she was in love. In that, she was visited by Gabriel. Now, I don't know about Mary Catherine. She's the only young teen girl in here at the moment. I don't know about Mary Catherine, but I, as a man of some years now, if Gabriel appeared to me, it would cause me some nervousness. It would cause me to shake in my boots a little bit. But look at this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, without getting too deep into this, the necessity of the virgin birth, the necessity of the human birth, is of vital importance. A, because we needed to have a carrier for the seed of God that had not been touched. So that's why the virgin part was important. We also needed to have a human carry the Lord to birth, because God was coming as the God-man. Not as the created God-man, but a God-man that came through creation. The book of Acts, and we see in Mark when Jesus talks about marriage, all point back to the creation. So here was Adam created and Eve created out of the rib of Adam. From that point forward, all people came as the seed of Adam. And Christ could not have been of the seed of Adam. He could not have been the second Adam without coming through the seed of Adam. So it was important to have someone deliver Jesus physically. So here was this young girl. So there's a couple of facts we know about her. Number one, she was a virgin in verse 27. We see that. And second, she had no idea what was about to happen. You know, Mary was completely in the dark, without clue that life is about to be changed forever. She's about to become a household word. The word Mary is a word we see all the time. We have one in our room this morning that carries the name Mary. So let's use our imaginations just for a moment. And here is this angel Gabriel that appears to her. And in verse 28, he says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And, you know, what are you talking about, Gabriel? I had no idea. And think about this. God also speaks to us today. It may be not as dramatic as Gabriel, although it could be. It may be through the Word of God. It may be through a teaching or a tape or something. I think Sharon gave Christy something not too long ago, and I kind of got a hold of this thought. You know, I can't remember what to do when you're good and mad. I can't remember. It's something like that. And, you know, or How to Be Good and Mad, I think was the name of it. And it's like, and it's really a takeoff. You know, in Scripture, it talks about be angry but don't sin. You know, because we have emotion. You know, and be angry and do not sin, and how you place those emotions. And so you might hear something from a tape or see something on TV, and it influences you, and you feel sense God is speaking to you through that. Well, we need to listen when God speaks, and we can use our imagination when Gabriel spoke to her, this powerful greeting. I don't know what Mary's disposition was, but we see a great hint in verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, I don't know what the word troubled really means there. I think she was ready probably to say, you know, go to her dad, go to somebody, go to the rabbi. What in the world is this? This bothers me. It bothers me greatly. And she was troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting is this? What does he mean that I'm highly favored? What does he mean by this? And she didn't know she was highly favored. She thought she was just like everyone else. But look at verses 30 through 33. Put yourselves in the sandals of this teenager. Go back those years when you were in high school. Go back when you were in junior high even. And think of what you would be thinking if this happened to you. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, for his kingdom will never end." So we see a few little things there that are dropped out from Gabriel. Okay? It's important that she was a virgin. It's important that she is of the seed of Adam. It's also important that he come through the house of David. And she has all these criteria wrapped up. And he says, "I'm going to use you. You are highly favored. I'm going to use you. And the Lord is going to plant a seed in you. And you will give birth to a son. And he will be the Most High. And he will reign as the Son of the Most High on the throne of his father David." Did you catch the emphasis here? Even though it is Mary who's being talked to, it's not about Mary. It's about the Son to come. Mary, you're just a vessel. Mary, you're going to go through this, but it's really, we're just using you as a conduit. You know, you are most favored, and since you're favored, we're going to use you as a vessel. Sometimes we look at our purpose in life and the things we are about, and we say it's not grandiose. It's not really something that's going to bring a lot of recognition. And if we could get loose of that and say, "Lord, I don't want to have recognition. I want to be used by you. I don't want everybody to know my name. I want everybody to know your name because of me." But look at what this angel said to Mary. And let's go back to Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9 for a minute. This angel, the name was going to be Jesus, which means Jehovah Salvation, Jeshua. In Matthew 1:21, we see this name explained, "For he will save people from their sins." In Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, and he will be called Mighty God." In other words, this one is coming. It's important that you're a virgin. It's important that you're from the seed of Adam. It's important that you're from the line of David, because that's the man part. But the seed will come from God, because we need a sinless part. And there is no way that a man and woman can get together and have an offspring that is not sinful. So this second part will come from God. And he will be the Son of the One Most High. He will come sinless, the God-man. And he will reign forever, not only in this earthly kingdom, not only as something that is happening now, but it will be something that will be eternal. But Mary asked the question of questions in verse 34. Great question. But you know, don't you love questions? Sometimes. And she said, how can this be since I am a virgin? Now, he had already said, you are a virgin. And she said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I want to reiterate this, Gabriel. I want you to know I'm engaged. I'm not married. I am engaged. Don't you understand what you're talking about here? Can we wait till after I get married? And you know, there's a question that has always puzzled me. I've always wondered, I said, why couldn't they get married first? And I think the key to that is that if they had gotten married first, it could always be suspected that the child was of Joseph and not of the Holy Spirit. But she was a virgin, and she was untouched, and the seed planted in her. In verses 35 and through 37, we see the answers to these questions. First, he deals with the biological issue by saying that the power of the Holy Spirit will overcome her, and this divine activity will result in conception. But the last phrase of verse 35 says, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And there's two important truths out of verse 35. Number one, it was necessary for the Son of Man to come through a woman, so it would be the same nature as those he came to save. But number two, it was of vital importance that he be holy, sinless, and blameless. And I don't think we ought to overlook that. We light candles, and we sing songs, and we give gifts, and we put up the tree, and we do all that great stuff. But let's don't overlook the fact that it was necessary for Jesus to be the God-man, fully God, fully man. C.S. Lewis said it like this, the Son of God became a man to enable men to be called, become the sons of God. Verse 37 really, really, really clinches this. And I want you to make sure you take this away, because if God lays a purpose on your heart, if God puts something in your way that is purposeful, I want you to know this, circle this verse, know it, read it, understand it. For with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, I'm not lifting the man at all, but you have things that you sing. When I was a kid, I didn't have as many programs as they do now, but one they had was Oral Roberts. Remember watching Oral Roberts on? And remember the song, Nothing is Impossible? And I'd sing the rest, but I can't remember the words. And I can remember as a kid hearing, nothing is impossible. And indeed, nothing is impossible for the Lord, which literally means, for no word from God shall be void of power. I want you to hear that again. No word of God shall be void of power. If God says it, it will be done. Not might be done, it will be done. Mary struck the angel Gabriel as hardly old enough to have a child, let alone this child. I wonder if Gabriel may have thought this. Maybe he looked at her and he said, I can't believe that you've sent me here to entrust this with this girl. You know, this girl who, you know, she's not even married yet. But after he told her this, he said, don't be afraid. This will happen. Now, here's the key. We move from Gabriel's message to Mary's response. If I were Mary, I would have run. You know, let me get out of here. You know, I'm sure I misunderstood. Woo, had some bad mushrooms for lunch. Whatever it might have been, that was not real. But Mary did not doubt the angel's word, even though it sounded incredible. She believed what the angel said. Her only question was, how is this going to happen? I'm willing to do my part, but don't you understand I'm a virgin? And he explained that. But in verse 38, verse 38 is a great verse. It is a great verse. It says this, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. May it be to me as you've said. Behold, I'm your servant. May what you have said about me come to pass. If anything says purpose, it is that. I agree. And notice after she agreed, the angel left. because the contract had been signed, the deal was done. She accepted this voluntary slavery, so to speak. She recognized that she belongs to the Lord. I'm the maidservant. I'm the slave of God. I give myself to the Lord. And what He says for me, may it be done. Could we come to the place where we do that? Is our salvation really, I have Jesus as my Savior, but do I have Him as Lord? I am the maidservant of God Almighty. Maybe her heart skipped a beat. Maybe, I'm sure it did. Maybe she was wide-eyed. Maybe she was nervous. Maybe open-mouthed. Maybe not knowing what the future would hold. All that stuff. But she said, may it be to me as you said, whatever comes my way, I'm willing to take for you. Are you available to God this Christmas? Are you ready to say yes to Him? Or do you hold some things back? I was thinking about the cost of Christmas. And you know, Christmas is an interesting thing when you think about cost. Because we have a lot of cost that is involved. I mean, just cost. You know, we were laughing. Christy said she needed something. And I said, well, you know, we got the sales after Thanksgiving. And the sales go through December. And about 2 days before Christmas, they get really deep. And she said something, I don't know if any of you other ladies or men have noticed this. She said, I've noticed that some of the after Christmas sales now don't tend to be as good as the right before Christmas sales. And she said, I think the whole gift card thing, and I don't know if that's true or not, just her observation. And I said, well, you know, that's pretty interesting. But I love to go into the place, you know, and you got a shirt or a sweater or something, and you got a 50% off and then a 30% off. You know, it's like a 50, you know, you keep going with that thing. And, you know, it's a game. They ring it up, and it, you know, some, you know, $70 sweater for $7.40. And you're, woo! Yeah. And it's a great thing. But there's a cost of Christmas. And the cost is not in money, but the cost is in reputation for Mary. The cost is in reputation for Joseph. The cost is in what they had to go through. And I think that's not stated in Scripture for a reason, really. Although it talked about her hiding out and how Joseph didn't divorce her or anything like that. But it's not emphasized greatly because the emphasis is not on Joseph and Mary. It's on Jesus. She was willing to go through the bumps of this publicly being disgraced, maybe. And she went to Elizabeth and talked to Elizabeth about it. And they got excited and she started singing, Lord, my soul magnifies you. When God says, are you available and willing to believe the impossible? Mary said, yes, I am. Without the yes, there couldn't be a Christmas. Are you willing to take this no matter the consequences? Yes. Without the yes, there can't be a Christmas. Her response is indicative of a woman that God can trust. Can you be trusted? I have no doubt that Mary thought, why me? Maybe sometimes she was, you know, in despair of what people thought. He knew she was willing to bear a child out of wedlock in order to bring God's Son into the world, so he asked her to do this. That leads to the D and the AD. Not only was Mary available, if you want to use the A, she was available. She was also D. She was a disciple. Mary was available and she was a disciple. She was available to God and she modeled what being a disciple of Christ is all about. And we have a teenage kid. A kid singing this song. This theologically deep song that we see in Luke chapter 1 that Mary Catherine read this morning. This girl knew her God. She knew her stuff. And it's true today that God can use you no matter your age. The good news this Christmas is that you might have heavy burdens. You might have questions about the future, but nothing is impossible with God. The list goes on and on and on of what God would do. I could tell you something that happened to me this week where I trusted God in a little bit of an unusual way, and God overdid it once again. It is amazing to me every time I take my plate, and I'm using a metaphor now, and I scrape it clean and go to him for another help, a small helping of potatoes, right? He piles it up every time. Thank you, Lord. You see, even though Mary was favored by God, she needed to be forgiven by God as well. She was just like us, except available, except she knew God. We'll close with this. There is need today in this world of a Christmas Savior. Not another Christmas card. Not one more rendition of O Holy Night, although they're all good. Not, you know, gathering money for children, and that is one of the best things we can do. But this world needs a Savior. Amen. This world needs Jesus. Not just any Savior, but this Savior who was born of Mary. The one who came, who was the God-man. The one who also, like his mom, poured himself out. He went all the way as well. And he said, Mom started this, I will finish this. My dad sent me, my mom has encouraged me, and I will not let this die, because I want not just to have the AD and the BC, I want to have the forever. Some of you and some of us are still leading a BC kind of life before Christ. In our lives, we ought to have a BC and an AD. Before Christ, I was like this, but after I died to Christ, I became that. I look at Peter, and Peter was one of these who followed Christ. You know, he followed Christ. He was willing to take the ear off a soldier, yet he ran in the face of a little girl. But after he died to himself and was filled with the Spirit, he became a different man. And we need to have people who are different. This world is in need of a Savior and is in need of people like Mary. Will you be one of those? Sometimes I think about robins in the trees. You know, when you think about robins in the trees and how they fly around. And, you know, there was one that would go get food, and it must have been Thanksgiving Day, because he said, I'm so full, I can't get back up to the tree. And the second one agreed, and he said, you know, let's just stay down here in the yard, and let's just bask in the sun. And no sooner had they fallen asleep, and they're out in the yard just laying there basking in the sun, and the tomcat comes along and says, I love me some Baskin Robbins. You knew that was coming? The world is easy prey for Satan when we lay out in the sun and sleep. But when we get away from the sun and get a hold of the Son of God, we are not easy prey. This world needs a Savior. This world needs the men and women of God to be like Mary. I'm willing. I have purpose in life. Today my purpose will be fulfilled. And do with me as you will. Let's us pray together and pray that song of Mary. Father, I pray that today as we leave this place, that we in our hearts and in our minds, we can each say, Lord, as You will for me, let it be done. In the tradition, in the spirit, in the way of Mary, help us to be obedient servants and discover our purpose. Amen and amen.